Welcome back. Understanding the Exodus. Yes. So I love the beautiful picture you've painted. You know, these stories in the Bible are not just, they're not historical, they're actually very prophetic.
But you can see how that woman was now formed.
Yes,
it's the nation of Israel. It's the nation of Israel. And we watch something that Moses brought them out of Egypt.
The first Exodus.
Yes, and the introduction of the seed of the woman began immediately. You hear prophecies by Isaiah while they were now in the promised land. A virgin shall conceive. And bring forth a child. You hear another one Isaiah gave and said, the Lord himself will give you a sign, you know, and things like that. He said, unto us a son, child is born. Chapter 9, verse 6 of Isaiah. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And then he says, he will be called Emmanuel also in Isaiah, saying, God with us.
Amen.
And then you see the same Isaiah again, who will believe our report in Isaiah 53. And then on and on and on. Preparatory to it, part of the preparation for that seed of the woman, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses brought the children of Israel out of the bondage of the Egyptians. And he gave this prophecy from verse 15.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren.
And I want you to note, it's not just coming out of bondage. It is coming out of bondage to serve God. A child of God cannot faithfully, truly serve God in bondage. While in bondage, you have no relationship with God. You must come out. And he places, because there is a place he meets with his people. I want you to take note of that.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So chapter 15 of Deuteronomy, chapter 18 from verse 15.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee.
That's Moses prophesying.
Of thy brethren, unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken.
That prophecy is fulfilled where? In Acts. I think it was Stephen. I quoted it.
Yes, sir. Acts 7.
You know, he quoted. So let's finish. Let's finish that. We'll come back to Acts.
Okay.
Let's finish
verse
the prophecy.
16. According to all that.
Read it up to verse 19.
According to all that thou desires of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly.
Yes.
Saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
And that is what Stephen was referring to in Acts chapter 7 and verse 37. Let me read it from verse 35 to verse 37.
This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he has showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear.
Who is that prophet?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. That is the beginning of the seed of the woman.
Hallelujah.
And what was Christ to do? He said, like unto Moses. That means he's going to also lead you out of a bondage. The law was given to them, but that law became a curse for them. They're bringing death upon them because the law could not perfect them. And so, of course, Satan would even hijack it and kept them in further bondage. Therefore, there will be the second Exodus.
Okay, so now, sir, you're talking of the first Exodus. Yes. Now you're talking of the second
Exodus. The second Exodus now is to pull out the elect of God out of that bondage of the law.
Okay, if I may ask you, sir, in total, how many Exoduses do we
have? Until we go up in the rapture, there will be five of them.
Until we go up in the rapture, there will be five Exoduses. Five.
It is by the first... fifth one that we go up.
Okay.
The first is, Exodus is taking us finally up.
Taking us completely out of bondage.
Out of
the first is from Egypt to the promised land.
Thank you.
Now the second is Prophet Jesus.
Yes.
Bringing out his people from the bondage of the law.
Thank you very much.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Now I want you to note that. So that gives us two major dispensations.
Hallelujah.
The dispensation of the law. And the dispensation of grace.
Hallelujah.
That is why we have John 1:17. John put it that way.
For the law was given by Moses.
Yes.
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
You see? So, the law, what is the first dispensation, was by a prophet. Prophet
Moses.
Moses. And Prophet Moses said, another prophet will come. And that prophet we know today is Prophet Jesus.
Amen.
For grace and truth came by him, and he says, as many as received him, you see, as many as received him. Why did he say as many as received him? Because there will be people that will receive him from the law, but he also knew that there will be the Gentile world that will also receive him.
Hallelujah.
And that is why he said he came to his own.
His own received,
but as many as received him. Those who will come out of idolatry. Gentile, idolatrous Gentiles. Because now is whosoever believe. So he came, and the process he went through the cross to pay the price of redemption, and all that he did was to bring us out of out of the law, out of sin, Gentile, out of the law. And his own is more glorious than Moses, because Moses limited himself to the Jews. But this one is for the whole world. Whosoever believes. And I want you to note the pattern, so that you catch this pattern of both the first Exodus and the second Exodus, the similarities. First, we said that it was by a prophet each.
Yes, sir.
And then it brings them out of a bondage. Now, take note that Moses only brought them out of bondage, out of Egypt. But he didn't enter the promised land.
That's true.
It was Joshua that took over from him, appointed by God himself. That went to the promised land and positionally placed all of them. If the prophet under grace will come like Moses, then you'll understand why Christ had to die, had to go for another comforter to come,
Amen.
Which is the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
So the Holy Ghost now establishes you in the freedom
Amen.
That Christ brought us into. And then when he brings us, then, of course, we need to be perfected.
Amen.
Then, the Holy Ghost perfects us through the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
We are now under grace.
Hallelujah.
Which is the second
Exodus. Wow. Thank you so much, sir. You said so much. If you begin to dissect everything you're saying, time will fail us.
It's five Exodus. So
yes, sir. You mentioned two.
Remaining how many?
Remaining three.
Thank you.
Okay, before you continue to tell us this remaining three, I want to know, does every Exodus start with a prophet?
Yeah, the first two, you know, I want you to note, until Christ came, there was only one prophet, which is Prophet Moses.
Amen.
So although
one dispensational prophet.
Yeah, one dispensational prophet.
Because someone may say, Pastor Moses said there's only one prophet before Christ came.
No, no, one dispensational prophet.
Amen.
Take note that Joshua continued to the promised land and established the people there. But Joshua did not bring anything new.
Yes, sir.
It was still continuation of the ministry of Moses.
Hallelujah.
That's why Moses, Moses, Moses.
Amen.
Joshua died, Moses. All the Jews, until John the Baptist came to begin the new covenant, I mean to usher in the new dispensation.
Amen.
So I want you to note, now, so also in the second Exodus, the prophet that started it is Prophet Jesus.
Amen.
And it will be Jesus, 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 Jesus. Until we go home.
Amen.
Because the work of establishing us, you know, the work of establishing us is, in fact, it is the continuation of the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
The ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actually the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
Aha. The Spirit that Joshua walked with is the Spirit of Moses that came upon him. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you.
Hallelujah.
So it's the same, you know. And then you'll understand about the Comforter, John. That he will not speak of himself.
John 16. John chapter 16.
Yes.
From verse 13.
Yes.
Okay.
Verse 12. Yes.
I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Albeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come,
yes,
he will guide you into all truth.
Guide you, see? That's a continuation of the ministry of Jesus.
For he shall not speak of himself.
He will not speak of himself, because there's nothing new he's bringing.
But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
Now, note verse 14.
He shall glorify
me. He shall glorify who?
Me, Jesus.
He shall glorify who?
Jesus.
Okay, that is why Joshua was Moses, 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 as Moses said. Go ahead.
For he shall receive of mine.
He will receive of mine.
And show it unto
you. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
And that is why any attempt to shift the mind of a believer to any other dispensational prophet, where we now quote him, is satanic.
Amen.
Satanic.
Amen.
And the bride of Jesus will fight it. Amen. And expose that spirit.
Amen.
It's an antichrist spirit.
Amen.
Smuggling in to share the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. Everything is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever you do in word
or in deed,
do it what?
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
That baptism will be preached in which name?
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
The name of the Lord Jesus. Cast out demons in which name?
In the name of the
in
Lord
my
Jesus.
Name we shall cast out devils. Where two or three are gathered in which name?
In the name of the Lord
what
Jesus.
You say salvation is in no other name but what?
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Why? Because God was in him reconciling Hallelujah. The world to himself. So
Amen.
Why will you try to smuggle any man there? It's satanic and it is an antichrist agenda.
Amen.
You see? So you have to note this. I don't know the question you want.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Continue with the remaining three. Let's hear you, sir. You've pointed out two. So
now,
the third, the fourth, and the fifth Exodus.
Now, listen, this is very interesting. It's still part of the divine agenda. Now, the kingdom of God is described using different, when I say the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, is talking about the period of this salvation process. We are Christ now, is the leader.
Hallelujah.
Under the dispensation of grace. Grace came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't try to smuggle any man there.
Amen and amen.
Directly or indirectly.
Amen.
Take note. It's very, very important. You know. And he planted the church. I will summarize it because we've spoken this several times in this program. He planted the church. And The church that was planted according to the divine agenda must die.
Mm.
You see? But that is the principle. Devil didn't know it. And before you know what, the church entered a dark ages. The Antichrist spirit, depicted by that third seal, the third horse rider, which is actually the third seal.
Yes, sir.
The black horse rider in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6.
Yes, sir.
And that was to fulfill the parable of in Matthew 13, verse 33.
Mm.
And then where the whole seed died. The word of God died.
Amen.
The light of the gospel died. Mm. The revival that started the day of Pentecost died. And then the church entered the dark ages. Mm. But they must come out. That will take us then to the third
Exodus.
They will remain like that.
Mm.
You see? Now, what is he going to use? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16.
1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 says.
Now, before 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 16, let's go to Matthew 25. Okay. The parable of the wise virgin from verse 1. The virgins, rather.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
Yes.
And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
Yes.
But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Mm-hmm.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.
Again, verse 6.
And at midnight, there was a cry made.
There was a cry made.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.
That is what Apostle Paul was referring to. The process for the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16.
For the Lord himself shall descend.
You see, he is the same one that descends. So it is Jesus, 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 Jesus all the way.
Mm.
Up to where we go.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
This, okay, go ahead.
With the voice of the archangel,
uh-huh,
and with the trump of God.
Now, this verse has the remaining triples, or rather, three exodus.
Wow.
Hmm. It is in this verse that you see the remaining three.
Okay.
The Lord himself will descend first with what?
With a shout.
Number one is a shout.
With the voice of
what
the archangel.
What is this shout? There are three stages. The shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God.
Amen.
Now, the first stage is the shout. This shout is what Christ himself called the midnight cry.
Amen.
Shout from where? From the dark ages. At midnight, the darkest hour of the Christian faith, where the word of God was completely killed by the Antichrist system, using that Roman church. They were ruling, but there was still life there.
Hallelujah.
And like a seed that is planted, it dies first. Church was planted on the day of Pentecost, but when it came and cooperated and mixed with the false idolatry and all the idolatrous system of that Roman church, the whole world died.
Mm.
But it began to spring up, as we see in that parable of Mark chapter 4, verse 26. The first thing that comes out, it is the shout.
Mm.
That is where the shout began.
Mm.
Listen very well. The shout did not begin with the ministry of William Branham, as all of us were teaching before. The shout is to the elect in the dark ages, who slept, the word of God totally died, to wake up and come out and meet the bridegroom. That is an end time event.
Mm.
Come out of her. That is the shout. That is the midnight cry. And there will be a response. And Matthew 25, verse 7.
Matthew 25, 7 says.
Verse 6 and verse 7, so we can...
And at midnight, there was a cry made.
Yes.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
That is the shout. Go ye
Go ye out to meet him.
Go ye out of that bondage. See the Exodus? The exit.
I see it.
You see the movement of the people?
I see it, sir.
Come out.
Amen.
To meet him. Where are you going to meet him? We are going to meet him in the air. Now, listen. We are meeting him in the air. Listen, this is very, very important. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
We have thought that we are going to meet him in the world. The word is what will bring us out. Listen.
The word is our roadmap.
It is our roadmap to meet him up in the air.
Okay.
Thank you very much for using that grammar. Listen. Verse 7 says it all.
Then all those virgins
arose. When they heard it, what was their response?
They arose and trimmed their lamps.
They arose and trimmed their lamps. What is trimming the lamps? What is the lamp? The word that you have. Oh, glory be to God. I know why I say some things, because in the course of establishing the witness of William Branham, we some of us went overboard and skip over the Bible truths in placing that ministry. And that is exactly what I'm trying to do, to properly place the ministry of he who we believe, you know, as a ministry for the end time bride, the man William Marion Branham. But we place him wrongly. And some of us want to correct that so that you have a proper bearing. That's why I say some things and emphasize some things. Many of them don't like me say that, but it's not for you. It's for those who are sincere. I'm showing you something in the scripture. You are like denomination. No matter how you show them water baptism, you hear them with foolish arguments like, we obey Jesus, we obey Peter. You just know that these people are completely blind.
Completely.
Completely blind. But some of the followers of Bishop William Branham are blinder than the denomination. In fact, they're not only blind, they are dead. Literally dead. Say so anything that will they will bring life to them. They have even thrown away Bible. You know. So this is what we're looking at. They shout here. The response is trim your lamp, your revelation.
Amen.
It's revelation.
Amen.
And the first trimming that we see when that blade came up, the shout, there was a response. The three works of grace have to be restored. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Three stages of that until the perfecting ministry at the end. Now, which now ends the ministry for the Exodus, for the living. Remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 4.
Yes.
The Lord, verse 16 again.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Now, listen. When these three, it will come by these three stages. When these three stages are completed, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then what?
Then we which are alive and remain.
Then we which are alive and remain
shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Now, there is the ministry for the living, and there's the ministry for the dead. The Exodus also, we have to go and bring those who are dead in Christ from the grave first. And that is achieved by the voice of the archangel in Revelation chapter 10. The archangel referred to is the archangel in Revelation chapter 10. Who sounds, who stands up because mercy is over. The ministry for the living is over. The last elect, the book of life has come in. He stands up from the mercy seat. That is what you see in Luke chapter 13.
Hallelujah.
And I think verse 24 or so.
Yes, sir.
Read it, please. That is the way he put it.
From verse 24.
Yes.
Okay, from verse 23.
From
then
verse 23.
Said one unto him,
yes.
Lord, Are there few that be saved? Uh-huh. And he said unto them, uh-huh. strive to enter in at the straight gate. Uh-huh. For many, I say unto you,
we seek to
enter in and shall not be able. Uh-huh. When once the master of the house is risen up.
Again?
When once the master of the house is risen up.
Where does he rise up from? The mercy seat. Who is the master of the house? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's our high priest, making intercession for us. He's seated at the mercy seat. But that seat will soon turn to judgment seat. Mm. But before it will turn to judgment seat, he's standing up. He has finished with the living and shut the door, correct?
When once the master of the house is risen up and shut to the door.
Uh-huh. And he will shut the door. Which door? It's the door of salvation. Mm.
And he begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not when
you so here. That is what you see in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1. What does it say? Up to verse 6.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire.
Yes.
And he had in his hand a little book open, mm-hmm. and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, mm-hmm. and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. Mm-hmm. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices.
Seven thunders uttered their voices. Hmm. And
when the seven thunders had uttered their voices,
uh-huh.
I was about to write.
This is very interesting.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not.
Uh-huh.
And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his heart to heaven.
So you can see, I began to swear that there will be time no longer. So it is an end time event. Salvation is over. These seven thunder, they are going. Why did he say it should not be written? It should not be written because it has nothing to do with the living.
Hallelujah, amen.
Oh, glory be God. Because amen. The patterns are there. I have proved it several times on this platform that Jesus Christ has a ministry for both the living and the dead.
Amen.
When he finished paying the price for redemption, finished with the living, this first advent, he went those 3 days. The Bible tells us, 1 Peter chapter 4.
Mm. Amen.
Now, maybe we'll go to chapter 3 first.
Okay.
Verse 18.
For Christ also has once suffered for sins,
yes.
the just for the unjust,
uh-huh.
that he might bring us to God. Uh-huh. Being put to death in the flesh.
We are reading 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse 18, 19, and 20.
Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
By which also he went and preached unto the
Spirit. He went to preach unto the spirits in prison, that is in Hades, in mm-hmm. hell.
Which sometimes were disobedient, uh-huh. when once the long suffering of God uh-huh. waited in the days of Noah,
uh-huh.
while the ark was a preparing. Wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water.
So if you go to chapter 4 and verse 6.
For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead.
Uh-huh. Again.
For this cause was the gospel also preached to them that are dead.
Again.
For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead.
Unto them that are dead.
Uh-huh. That they might be judged
according to them. So the gospel will be preached to the dead also.
Mm.
But what will be their gospel? Nobody knows why he'll be telling them there.
Hmm.
That's why, and he'll be using the seven thunders to fulfill that. And that is why he said, don't write it. It doesn't concern you. It's between me and them, among the dead.
Very clear. Okay. Sir.
So you can see that the gospel will be preached both to the living and to the dead. Because Christ in John chapter 5, verse 28.
John 5, 28.
Yes, and 29.
Amen. Okay. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice.
Can you see? He had to go there and, they will hear his voice.
And shall come forth.
They will come forth.
They that have done good.
They came forth in Matthew 27.
Hallelujah.
And now again, they are going to come forth again. Just before the rapture.
Amen.
The elect that are dead in Christ. Dead in Christ. Okay, so
yes,
that is the fourth Exodus, bringing
the dead,
the dead
out of the bondage of death,
out of the bondage of the grave,
out of the bondage of the grave.
Because you see how Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it was a celebration.
That's right.
It was a celebration. Verse 53.
Okay.
For this in fact, read it from verse 51.
All right. Behold, I show you a mystery.
It's a mystery.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Yes.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound.
Now, do you see? At the last trump, because the last Exodus, which is the fifth Exodus, is the trump. It is that trump that is referring to here. What will happen?
For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption.
This is our body here, yes?
And this mortal must put on immortality.
Yes.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
So see now the celebration of 55.
Oh death, where is thy sting?
Oh.
Oh grave, where is thy victory?
Go ahead.
The sting of death is
sin. It was sin that caused it.
And the strength of sin is the law.
The law gave sin the power.
But thanks be to God.
Oh glory be to God.
Which giveth us the victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
The seed of the woman.
And the prophet of the Exodus.
And the prophet of the Exodus. Thank you very much. And Amen. The prophet of the Exodus.
Amen.
So you see what I'm bringing out here. And that is what gives the living the rapturing faith. No rapturing faith anywhere for now. What the rapturing faith? The faith that brings the body change.
Hallelujah.
I repeat, no rapturing faith now. Remember that they came out of the grave and for 40 days the living saw them. But because it was not yet their time, there will not be body changing.
That's right.
But now, when they come out, because we are schooled,
Amen.
We are in expectation to
Amen.
See them. We that will be alive. I hope you'll be alive.
Ah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We that will be alive. Just as something will happen in the grave that will give them their body, that rotting everywhere, their theophanies will come back to them.
Amen.
And then they will put on, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Is it 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2.
2 Corinthians 5, for we know.
We know.
That if our earthly house of this tabernacle, we are dissolved.
Yes.
We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
So we have a new body.
Hallelujah.
Something will happen there that will give them their new bodies.
Amen.
By the message of the seven thunders.
Mm.
And so, when they come out, we will see them, we will recognize them. It is when we see them that we know it is homegoing time.
Amen and amen.
That will be the last sign.
That it is.
I know they said, Abraham said the rapturing faith lays in the messages. It is progressive.
Amen.
It is progressive. Yes. It lays in the message, lays in the tapes. Because we are called back in line. So that we are there to move to that stage, you know. But the actual rapturing faith is when the dead in Christ will. That's why they will rise first. The way we are now will be changed. We now have enough faith for that. Then, the fifth Exodus takes place. That trump. That trumpet. Because they will be gathering everywhere. They appear in America, they appear in Japan, they appear in Lagos, appear in Akwanga, appearing with, we'll be having some meeting with some of them, with Brother Moses, and some with who else in this village, in the town. We are all scattered around. Then it's a spiritual thing. We shall hear a trumpet. And when we hear that trumpet, then we will know how to respond.
Come up, Ida.
We will hear a voice, come up hither. And then here we are. The same way he left, we shall leave. And he'll be hanging there to wait for us.
Hallelujah.
That is the final rapture Exodus. Will now be completed.
Amen. Yes. Wow. This is an interesting teaching. You said so much, sir. If I may ask, what is the importance of this teaching? How important is this to the rapture?
Huh. Of course, that is why we're bringing it up. Now, I want you to take note. There is a law in Exodus 21.
Amen.
I want you to take note of it.
Exodus 21.
Exodus 21.
Yes, sir.
From verses 1 to 6.
Okay. Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them.
Yes.
If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free from nothing. Mm-hmm. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. Mm-hmm. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, mm-hmm. the wife and her children shall be her masters, mm-hmm. and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
Will that slave be free again?
At all.
And what is done to him that makes him remain perpetually a slave?
Hearing.
It has to do with the ear. Now, you see where the danger is. We are telling you freedom has come. Moses, let my people go. You say you want to remain in Egypt. What will happen?
Be a slave forever.
You will remain a slave forever because the Red Sea is closed. Nobody will open it for you to cross
again. Second batch.
No second batch.
Even and even.
Okay. So that is where they pick the fashion of a ring from. You know, it's strange. Israelites, you know, had nothing to do with that. Now, the same thing in the church. It does something also to the ear. Second Thessalonians chapter 2.
Now,
reading from verse 7 up to verse 12 to get the picture.
Okay.
He called it a mystery.
Yes, sir. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
It doth already work.
Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
Okay.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan.
That is the Antichrist.
With all power and signs and lying wonders.
Go ahead.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness.
Now, this is where I am going from verse 10. With all the things that he will use to deceive.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
Because you know, the people where that thing is workable is in them that are ordained to perish.
Because they received not the love of the truth.
The reason is because they don't love truth.
That they might be saved.
Yes.
And for this cause, God shall send them.
That verse 10 again is very important.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
Why?
Because they received not the love of the truth.
That they might be saved. Church, children of God, there is another Jesus.
Hey.
There is another gospel. And there is another spirit. There is this. Can you read the scripture for me? 2 Corinthians chapter
11.
Yes, and verse 13.
Okay. For such are false apostles.
There are false apostles.
Deceitful workers.
All they do is to deceive, because the spirit of deceit is a satanic spirit.
Transforming themselves into the apostles of God.
They are the ones that have appointed themselves that they are apostles. So.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of light.
Satan has his ministers. What are they to do? Is deceive. But they cannot deceive everyone.
Yes, sir.
They deceive those who have no love for truth. Please read that scripture again.
And with all deceivableness of righteousness in them that perish,
yes.
Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
They have no love for truth. Because it is only receiving truth that you'll be saved. Go on.
And for this cause.
Because you refuse truth. You have no love for truth. How can somebody koro tell you how you dress? It doesn't matter. And you say, that's my pastor. While others are running away from that church. You are saying, that is my pastor. How can you come across bright television and you have us tearing down the truth of this Bible? You go to your pastor, he says, it doesn't matter. Water baptism has expired. No need for communion. I'm speaking big grammar. Why some are running away from such error and correcting their water baptism and, you know, checking their dressing, living a consecrated life, appearing and giving glory to God in their appearances and everything, lining up their revelation. Some are saying, I will die with this pastor, I will die, no problem. When the Bible is against women ministries, meaning women pastor, while some are leaving such ministries, some are promoting even with their tithes and offerings. They have no love for truth. Anything, the only truth we have is the Bible. When we are showing some of these end-time-messiah believers truth in the Bible, they were in error. Correct your understanding. It's a lie. William Branham brought all the mysteries. William Branham is the last messenger. William Branham dropped the Bible and hold on to court. Ah! Who has bewitched these people like this? Is that what that man brought? Even that man in his grave now, he'll be crying that they misunderstood him. He came to present Jesus, not himself. He came to present a message. It is the message, not the messenger. They refused. What happens?
And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion.
Strong. See, the spirit of delusion, and I preach a message titled
The Spirit of Delusion.
That
they should believe a lie.
That God himself will do something around you, such a follower, such a believer. Listen, it is not prostitutes. These are supposed to be Christians. Followers, Christians. He said, you will give them over to a delusion that will do what?
That they should believe a lie.
So that you will believe a lie.
That they all might be damned.
So that they will all be condemned to hellfire.
Who believed not the truth,
but
had pleasure in unrighteousness.
So you see why we are taking this exodus. Come out of worldliness. You don't want to come out. You love it. Come out of error. You don't want to come out. You love it. Something will be done by God himself that will delude you and make you to believe a lie. What does he use? He uses the anointed ones at the end time. He anointed what they call reapers that will cause this separation. And for those who love truth and for those who don't love the truth, that is why we are taking this teaching.
Wow, thank you so much, sir. Well, I still want to ask you, sir, in the Bible, just like you referred us to the book of Exodus, there is a law of Jubilee. How do you link that with an Exodus?
There is the law of Jubilee, but maybe we'll take a break, just a short technical break.
Okay, we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.